Hey there, everybody. Welcome into a glorious victory edition of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield settling into the big chair moments after the New England Patriots close out the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football 31-17. An impressive win for the New England Patriots, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. There's going to be a lot of shout-outs to the guys on the defensive side of the ball in the wake of tonight's victory. Before we get into the great, the good, and the bad, as we do after each victory, as well as some game balls and the take of the game from the Locked On Patriots Slack channel, a reminder to follow me on Twitter, at Mark Schofield. Check out the work at places like InsideThePylon.com, Pro Football Weekly, The Score, Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio, Big Blue View, part of the SB Nation family of websites. Friends, if there's an outlet covering sports, particularly football, chances are I'm doing some work for them. Let's start sort of big picture now, starting with the great. And I want to start with Cordarrelle Patterson. I thought that the performance from him, particularly stepping up when James White seemed to be sort of injured, hurt, a little bit of a thigh or a hamstring type injury, was very impressive. 11 carries for 61 yards and a touchdown. He had a long of 17 on the day, averaging 5.5 yards per carry. What's interesting about Patterson as a running back, if you know, saw his time, whether it was with the Vikings or with the Raiders, you saw fans of those teams, particularly, for example, Reef Hassan, clamoring for him to be used as a running back, others clamoring for him to be used as a running back. And I know I've talked about this before. He fits in the role perfectly well, despite a very sort of unorthodox running style. He's a very upright runner, which you kind of expect given his background as a wide receiver. But he finishes runs incredibly well, despite his unorthodox high pad level as a running back. You saw it on the play, for example, when he was getting dragged down by his undershirt. He's still finishing that run forward. Had some inside runs where he was sort of finishing those forward. We're going to talk about the offensive line in the good segment of this show. But what I thought was interesting, with the Patriots having some success on running them inside, Green Bay sort of adjusted to a bare front. And I know Collinsworth talked about this a little bit tonight, where they cover the center and both guards with their three interior defensive linemen. I thought that that was an interesting move by the Packers, by their defensive staff, that actually sort of played into New England's hands a bit, as we're going to talk about a little bit later. So off the bat, Patterson, good performance from him. Josh Gordon, I mean, the hand strength. And it seemed like he was bothered by a finger injury at one point, was sort of in and out. But you saw it, particularly at the end of the game, Patriots looking to close out that game. They run that fake toss to the right and throw that backside slant to Josh Gordon. And just the hand strength to just pluck the ball out of the air. Very impressive. Obviously, the catch and run on the fake bubble screen where he catches it sort of in that turkey hole against kind of a cover two type look. Bounces off a safety. Takes it into the end zone. Tremendous play for him. Gordon, 5 receptions for 130 yards and a touchdown, the long of 55. 10 targets, 5 receptions. He's becoming a go-to guy for Tom Brady. I mean, they're going back shoulder stuff to him. Anytime they get a chance to take him deep, Brady's going to look to him. They had that on the opening drive of the game where they tried to get a scheme a deep shot to him off of play action. It was double covered, but still, Brady's looking to him. And tremendous game from him. Trey Flowers, I thought, was in the backfield, it seemed like, all night. Now, the Packers, they lose their starting right tackle, so he got a little bit of a favorable matchup, but he certainly took advantage of it. Now, the production, you know, from Flowers, it was good, not great. You know, 5 total tackles, 2 of them solo, split that sack with Adrian Claiborne, a big play there. But the pressure that he was providing all night, and he had some great plays against the run, too. Huge game from him. The tempo on the offensive side of the ball, when they went up tempo, particularly that opening drive, when they didn't just go, you know, hyperspeed, they went plaid. That's right, I'm dropping a Spaceballs reference on you. They went plaid on that opening drive. Frustrating for me, because as you know, those of you that are listening to the show for a while, I'm an old school pen and paper type guy. So I'm sitting here furiously trying to jot down notes, and I can barely read my chicken scratch from that opening drive because they were playing so fast. But I think part of that was design. You're worried about some of those guys on the inside. Kenny Clark, for example, matched up against Ted Karras, a backup offensive guard. What are you going to do? Maybe go some tempo, try to get those guys winded. You know, kind of like the boxer analogy, go into the body early in bouts. That's what you do. You wear them down. And so I loved the tempo. They picked it at spots at times. No, I thought that was a big play. Defense, defense. I know I mentioned Flower. We're going to talk about the defense a lot, but Lawrence Guy, he had some big plays in this game against the run. I thought he scraped and shed very well up front, but the fumble changed the course of this game because it's looking like Green Bay is going to drive in and score, take this lead 24-17. Guy punches the ball out of Aaron Jones' arms. Patriots recover. Huge swing momentum play. Then the Patriots, you know, what do? After forcing that fumble, let me just make sure I get my notes right. Trying to figure out here. Yep, they go down and score a touchdown. And Guy forcing that fumble was a huge turning point in this game. You know, massive, massive play. Stephon Gilmore. You know, you want to talk about a team making sort of some defensive adjustments. New England, when they started this game, they had Gilmore and Davante Adams. They were showing some different looks. Sometimes they would double other guys. Sometimes they would double Jimmy Graham. They were really sorts of switching things. But then, you know, Green Bay started to have some success with Marquez Valdes-Scantlin. You know, really making some big plays in the passing game. 3 catches for 101 yards, a long of 51. So what did they do? They put Gilmore on him late in the game. You know, and the versatility there, trusting your shutdown corner to go out there and stop the hot hand. Fantastic play. So those were some big plays. Those were some of the great things that I saw tonight, specifically some stuff, you know, working through the game itself. New England's opening drive. Again, they've done such a great job throughout the season on opener drives. This one was a great one. A lot of versatility. The tempo I thought was great, you know, really keeping the Packers defense on their heels, capping it off with a fake jet sweep to Julian Edelman, toss weak to James White for the touchdown run, just a tremendous opening drive. On Packers' first drive, you get a second and goal play, tremendous hands by Stephon Gilmore, who we were just talking about, to get a pass breakup on a throw to Davante Adams. Green Bay's second drive, Trey Flowers makes our first appearance here in some specific plays. It's a second five play. They try some play action. Flowers gets great pressure working through the right tackle. He just buries him to force Rodgers to throw it away. And then after the Packers pick up a first down, you get a first and 10 play, a 9-ball deep shot, vertical route to Valdes-Scantlin. You get Jason McCourty. He's beaten on it, but the ball's slightly underthrown. He doesn't stop on it. Works through the ball, works through the catch point, you know, breaks that up at the catch point. A great play from Jason McCourty, who we're going to talk about in our good section of the show. New England's third drive, that's when we're seeing sort of Patterson, a toss to him for a 12-yard gain, come back on a 9-ball. Great catch and great route by Gordon, who beats the jam, then stacks the receiver. The ball is slightly underthrown, but what Gordon does so well is he sort of stacks the receiver. What I mean by that, he uses his body and his frame to shield the defender from the ball, make the over-the-shoulder catch, which was great. Then they come back with the flea flicker. Josh McDaniels, sometimes we beat him up with some play calls. There were some calls tonight that I wasn't a fan of, but coming back from that 9-ball in through the flea flicker, which James White did such a great job on, sort of setting it up, delaying the toss back. Huge, great play there. Green Bay's third drive of the game, a 3rd-and-4 play. Adam Butler with a great spin move up front, flushes Aaron Rodgers to the right, forces a thrown way and a punt. Just great play from him. Kenyon Barner on New England's 4th drive of the game, a 1st-and-10 play. This is a play that goes incomplete. Oh, actually, it's Devlin in the flat for no gain, but you get a blitz from Clay Matthews. Barner flattens him. You know, you want to talk about a guy that's going to get some props and film room on Monday. Kenyon Barner will for that. New England's 5th drive of the game. That's a drive that ended with, you know, the Cordell Patterson touchdown run to the left side with Terrent Brown erasing two dudes. And you just, you know, Patterson for 16, Patterson for 8. That unorthodox running style, but it comes through there. Some great plays. Working through the rest of the game now, we're into the second half. Jason McCourty had 2 back-to-back huge plays on Green Bay's 7th drive of the game. This is when the game was tied at 17. 2nd and 8, they try a bubble screen to Randall Cobb. He sniffs it out, stops it for no gain. And then on 3rd and 8, it's a deep shot that goes incomplete. It's slightly overthrown, but McCourty's man coverage step-for-step of Randall Cobb in perfect position. 2 very good plays there. Now, after you get the fumble, Brady had been struggling to this point through the 3rd quarter, but he had his best throw of the night, I think, on a 3rd and 6 on their 9th drive of the game after the fumble. He's forced to move around, crowded pocket, but he finds Philip Dorsett in that sort of turkey hole, that cover two, Tampa two look. He's behind the corner who rotates up, makes a throw from some unsettled feet in the pocket because it's so crowded, but long throw, great throw, moves the chains. Then you get the throwback screen, throwing it to Edelman, then setting it up back on the screen to James White to the other side of the field. Great job by the offensive line to not block, to look disinterested. Just well called by McDaniels, well executed by the offense. And then you get the touchdown run on third and goal. And Collinsworth called it right, I think. Green Bay looked to be selling out for the sneak. They had four down linemen on the inside with the linebacker coming up over the top. And you go to the outside zone for a touchdown run. Green Bay's next drive, it's 24-17, third and six. You need to get off the field. Flowers and Claiborne combine on the sack. First in the night of Aaron Rodgers, Flowers with such great hands. Go back and watch that play, the way he uses his hands to get it in out of the block. He pressures him, starts to get him. Claiborne helps finish it off. Huge play. You come back with the seam route, the fake screen, seam touchdown to Gordon. Big sequence there. And finishing it off, you get Adrian Claiborne on that fourth and four play. Green Bay sort of last hope there. He's in, you know, Aaron Rodgers' face, forces a high throw, incomplete. Huge, 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 huge play there. That's the great stuff. I'm going to come back here in a second with the good. There was a lot of good to talk about as well. And a little bit later, we're going to talk about, some of the ugly stuff, some of the stuff that I didn't like too much. But first, remember, friends, we got some Monday Night Football that's going to be coming up a little bit later. We got Tennessee and Dallas down in Dallas. We got another great Week 10 slate ahead of us. But before all of that, you might be thinking, look, I've been listening to the great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including this one. I've got a good angle on these games. I think I'm going to win some money. Well, who you're betting on, it's important. Where you're betting, more so. That's why I always, always, always tell my friends and listeners, check out MyBookie. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is so user-friendly. So lay down some cash and win big today. Now, I'd only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why I can urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they play. They have in-game, live bet, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for your fantasy men and women out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Your first deposit, they will match it 100% up to $1,000. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Go to MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie.com. Don't forget that promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Mark Schofield back with you now on this glorious victory edition episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast. We are breaking down New England's 31-17 victory over the Green Bay Packers. The Patriots getting to 7-2 on the season. Big win for them. Trying to keep pace with those Kansas City Chiefs here in the AFC right now. Trying to get a shot at that number one overall seed. But the Patriots at least look in very good position when it comes to the AFC East. Rounded into form as we kind of expected at the start of the season. Let's talk the good stuff from Sunday night. I think Tom Brady's fourth quarter, sort of started off with that throw to Dorsett that we were just talking about, because that third quarter from Tom Brady was not good. There was one stretch where he was like 0-6, then like 1-7, then like 1-8, looked unsettled. You hop onto the timeline. Timeline's calling him basically hot garbage. Timeline's basically saying that he's putting in a vomit inducing performance, much like the screen cap from Red Dead 2, which I've been tweeting out a lot over the past, 10 hours or so. I'm a big fan of that game and a little screen grab that I put together. But that being said, after that throw to Dorsett, I thought Brady settled in a little bit into this game. Obviously, the big shot to Gordon in the fourth quarter as well. Just a tremendous job with his eyes, selling out that bubble screen to Edelman. You saw Collinsworth talking about this, breaking it down. Those two outside defenders crashed down hard on the screen look. You might be thinking in that situation, look, we're going to take, a short, easy, conservative type throw, work some clock. No. You catch them biting, you throw the seam, touchdown. What was more interesting about that, actually, I take that back because I don't think it was Edelman. It must have been Hogan or somebody, because there were two seam routes, the inside seam route from Edelman. Edelman leapt for this ball, and he could have potentially broken this up. That would have been pretty painful. But Brady's fourth quarter, I thought, was pretty impressive, particularly with how he was playing in the third quarter. A lot of people were a little angsty with him on the timeline. But Brady's fourth quarter was very good. Adam Butler, Dietrich Wise, I thought those two guys picked some spots, got some good pressure in at moments. I was impressed with them, particularly the Butler spin move we talked about, so wanted to give them some shout-outs. James White, gutted it out. You know, you could tell he was definitely hurting, limped off a couple of times, so he had a lot of action from Kenyon Barter. Obviously, Patterson as well, getting some time at the running back spot. But in the end, look, what does White do for you? He gives you 12 carries for 31 yards and 2 touchdowns in the run game. As a receiver, 7 targets, 6 receptions for 72 yards, including a long of 37, which was that sort of throwback screen from Edelman. Despite the injuries, he means so much to this offense, so much to the matchup stuff they're trying to do, especially with guys like Sony Michel and, you know, Rob Gronkowski out. So despite the injury, gutty performance from him. Very impressed with that. The offensive line, I thought, deserves a ton of credit. Now, I think part of it might have been an adjustment that the Packers made, which I alluded to earlier. But when you sort of look at the overall numbers, yeah, Brady was sacked twice for loss of 21 yards. The run game, you get up to 123 yards on the ground. You know, that's included a 1 yard loss from Tom Brady, who now sits at 998. He was at 999. And I honestly think, you know, going back to that play on the goal line where the Patriots sort of, well, the Packers, excuse me, seemed to be selling out for the sneak when he was sitting at 999. I do think that played a little bit of a role in how Green Bay was like so angsty, or I guess anxious, looking at the sneak. And I think it was Dave Archibald in the Locked On Patriots Slack who pointed out Patriots kind of went tempo there, so they were probably expecting the sneak, the Packers were. But, you know, Brady now sitting at 998 needs 2 more to get to Brady 1K. But overall, I think the offensive line did a very good job. Obviously, this was something we were all a little worried about. Shaq Mason being out. You're worried about Kenny Clark, just a tremendous young defender on the interior of that line. And Ted Karras did get beat on a Mike Daniels sack early. That was pretty much it. And I think the adjustment to the bare front, where you've got those guys covered, it sort of simplified things for the guys on the interior. Thuney, Andrews, Karras. You know, when you've got different alignments, different shades, sometimes you get some disadvantageous angles, you know, as a blocker, whether it's run game or pass game. But I think when they went to that bare front, covering those three guys sort of head up to take away those inside runs that Patterson was gashing them on, it simplified their jobs for those three guys. And that's kind of what allowed, I think, that interior to hold up so well. That was something we were worried about going into this game. And I think the adjustment by the defense from the Packers played into what New England was doing. So I think that was big. Two other guys I'll mention in the good. We talked about Jason McCourty a bit, but, you know, mentioning him again. I thought he had a very good game. Talked about some of the plays. Yeah, he got beaten once or twice. But I think in the context of this defense and what he was asked to do, impressive performance from him. And Adrian Claiborne as well. We talked about the big sack, the pressure. He was all over the field at times, you know, getting some pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers still escaped, did some Aaron Rodgers type things, but I thought Claiborne did a pretty good job. Some specific stuff I'll just mention quickly. Green Bay's second drive, you get a 3rd and 6 situation. They show breath pressure. They go zero blitz. The Patriots defense does. You get a free shot. Look at Rodgers. He's forced to make a quick throw. He throws it to the outside. Receiver breaks to the inside. You force the punt. You know, that was a good play at that moment. Green Bay's fourth drive of the game, they have a 1st and 10 play. They go a handoff. You get Keontae David with some good push up front. The running back tries to bounce it as well to the outside as well. And you get Daron Harmon as well as Jason McCourty. Good discipline, good rush, you know, run fit integrity. They don't let that guy bounce it. You know, it stopped for just a 2-yard gain. But if they really sort of sucked up and sucked into the inside, that could have been a big run to the outside. But I thought those two guys, Harmon and McCourty, did a very good job on that play. Some other good stuff. Working through my notes. I mentioned a lot of the stuff in the great. Josh Gordon again. New England's 6th drive of the game. You know, this is one of the ones that ended on the, this is the drive that ended on the 4th and goal throw, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But you get Josh Gordon on a spot route to pick up a 1st down. And then Dwayne Allen, this was a beautifully designed play. They went three receivers to the right. You go tosser, flat combination. So the outside receivers are all running slants, and then you get the inside receiver running that quick little out route. We used to call it 2-2-1 back in college out of trips, where you get the outside receivers running that slant route, really create some traffic, really picked off the linebacker over Allen. So he gets a 14-yard reception wide open. I also thought Allen, if you go to the end around later in the game, you know, he ran a dude out the club on a run by Julian Edelman to sort of run some clock late in the game. So, you know, little shout out there to Dwayne Allen. Some other good stuff that I'll mention. I might have already hit on everything. And I think I did. Kyle Van Noy had his moments tonight too. There were some times when he couldn't set the edge. There were some times when he did. He had some good stops against the run. Flushed Aaron Rodgers a couple of times on blitzes. So I'll mention him as well. But that's some of the good stuff up ahead. The bad, as well as our take of the game from the Locked On Patriots Slack channel and our game balls. That's all ahead on this glorious victory edition of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now. I'm going to close out this glorious victory edition of Locked On Patriots talking about the bad stuff. There were some bad things to mention just briefly. Don't want to dwell on the bad stuff after a victory like that. Injuries. You got Gronk out. You got Michelle out. Injuries seem to be I don't want to say mountain, but, you know, we had Gronk in and out of the lineup. We're waiting for Michelle to come back. So injury is certainly something to watch. The third quarter offense, I thought it was pretty bad. You know, the Patriots, they don't score in the third quarter. They had some opportunities. They didn't capitalize. So that was pretty frustrating. We talked about Brady's poor sequence. Also, the red zone offense. You know, you had, I think, on that sequence where they ended up not getting the first down on the fourth and goal, I think because of a penalty, they had a number of cracks at it. And there was another sequence where they're forced for a field goal. They get first and goal at the 9, back shoulder to Gordon. That's incomplete. Seems like he has a hand injury, finger injury. He comes off. Second and goal, spot route to Edelman, and slightly behind him. That's a play where Collinsworth was talking about some potential miscommunication. That's dropped. Third and goal, that's the throw to Hogan where he's basically tackled. Defensive pass interference. So now you get first and goal. They run white to the left side, no gain. Patterson comes in, looks to be the TD run, but it's overturned. Third and goal, again, they're selling out. The Packers are against the sneak. Four defensive linemen inside with the linebacker, so they sprint Tom Brady out to the right. I'm generally, I know opinions are mixed on this. Collinsworth for one, Amy Trask for another, they hate the sort of sprint outs on the goal line. I tend to like them, and maybe I'm the idiot here, but I do like when you got a mobile quarterback, it gives you that run-pass option. I know the school of thought is you're splitting the field in half because you can't really throw anything back to the left if you're sprinting out to the right. I tend to like it, maybe not with Tom Brady. Maybe he's not the guy I'd be calling sprint right option or anything like that, but that's what they did because the Packers were selling out against it. Then the fourth down call, again, they're expecting something on the inside. They go basically cover zero. You try to throw basically back shoulder to Gordon. It goes incomplete. I mean, that's seven cracks at it inside the 10-yard line, and you can't get in. I mean, red zone opportunities, they had five. They converted three of them. But I do think red zone offense, you know, this is now the second week in a row we've been talking about red zone offense. So it is something that's, you know, at least keep an eye on. The one defense that I didn't like, well, two actually. One, Aaron Rodgers doing Aaron Rodgers things. I know it's hard. He's so good at it. He's so slippery. He's wiry. He's wiry. That's a little replacements reference for you guys. But at some time, you got to get the guy to the ground. And I think they did get some shots on him. You know, they did pressure him a little bit better in the second half. But, you know, he was running around doing some AR-12 things. Also, the defense, the too many men penalty in the fourth quarter, too many men on the field. Flores was screaming to get the right package onto the field. I think there was some pre-snap miscommunication there. That could have cost them, especially because, look, you get, you know, a hit on Rodgers with a fumble. They would have had a nice little loss of yardage there, but it's an all for naught because of the flag. It gave them a first down. Brady's third quarter, we talked about it, just reiterating it, it was pretty ugly. Let's go into some, oh, last thing, these late games, you know, they're 2 weeks in a row now. I'm, you know, it's now, what time is it right now? just after midnight on the East Coast. I'm an old man, 41. I need my beauty rest. They're starting to take their toll. I'm actually looking forward to an afternoon start next week. Some specific stuff. I know there was some angst about Daron Harmon, particularly in the Locked On Patriots Slack channel. I do think, and we're going to get to it in a second, the touchdown to Davante Adams. It was Gordon working over the top. We'll get to that. The sack by Mike Daniels, Karras beaten at the right guard spot. That was on New England's second drive, forced a punt. It was a good move. He got beat. What can you say? But it was a bad play at that moment. Green Bay second drive, 3rd and 5 situation. He had a chance to get him off the field. They show pressure. They drop off. Graham's split out wide. They walk Claiborne out to jam him, but he doesn't really get a good enough jam on him. Then they drop it into his zone. Graham goes a little out and up type look. Chun's not close enough to prevent the play. I would have liked to have seen a little bit of better jam. You know, Adrian Claiborne's not used to walking outside, you know, receivers, whether they're tight ends or whatever, and jamming them. So, you know, maybe next time they do that, do it a little bit better. New England's third drive, they settled for a field goal. It's another play with another situation where you get first and goal inside the 10 or just about the 10-yard line. First down, they go white to the left side for no gain. Then they put Edelman in the backfield, and it looks like they try to get a quick swing route to him. Brady seemed to throw it a little bit earlier, or at least before Edelman was expecting it. That goes incomplete. And then he misses white in the flat. So, again, the red zone offense. The drive that ended by Green Bay, their fourth drive of the game that ended in a touchdown to Davante Adams, where they rolled Aaron Rodgers out to the left. Again, that entire drive, it's just Aaron Rodgers doing Aaron Rodgers things. You had some good plays in there. You know, Lawrence Guy with a good scrape and tackle, inside run, Flowers and Guy with a good stop. There was a penalty there. You get a deep shot to number 84. Chun breaks it up, but you get defensive offsides. And then they go crosser on the next play to Davante Adams when they're doubling Jimmy Graham. Too easy. 1st and 10. Aaron Rodgers escapes again after pressure from Flowers. Picks up 2 yards. Next play, inside run. They give up 10. And then 3rd and goal is, you know, you get a chance to force them to 3 again, but they give up the touchdown. So that wasn't good. The touchdown with Graham beat Chun on that 2nd and goal play. They showed pressure. They dropped late to a cover 2 look. And it's Harmon who sees sort of a dig route in front of him. He sinks up on it and allows Graham to get behind him. Chun sort of in trail coverage. I get it. You're down near the end zone. You see that near the goal line. You think he might throw it. But I think Harmon needs to stay in his depth there. He would have been able to help out on that route to Graham. Other bad stuff to mention. I think that will do it. That will actually do it. So there you go. Some other bad stuff to mention. That's... Nah, we'll end it there. Before we go, though, take of the game, our good friend John Limarakis in the Locked On Patriots Slack channel, where he said, I think Trey Flowers is going to get a game ball tonight. And John, you're absolutely right, because he is one of our recipients of game balls. Also, Josh Gordon, Patterson, and then our 3 guys in the interior, Thuney, Andrews, Karras. I know Karras gave up the sack, but I think given the concerns we had coming in, you get your backup right guard in there, going up against a guy like Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels, the interior of that Packers defense. I thought those 3 guys did the job well. Again, maybe part of it was due to the bare front. I think it might have played a role, but those guys certainly stepped up and got it done. Final thoughts here before we shut it down for the night. Remember, it is now Monday, November 5th, meaning tomorrow. Tomorrow is midterm election day. And I've been giving state-specific shout-outs going by, you know, how many people from each state listen to this pod, and I'm working my way down. So a shout-out to those of you out there in the state of Connecticut. Look, you've got a Senate race. You've got, obviously, all the House races. You've got some ballot measures. Connecticut Amendment 1, which is a transportation revenue lockbox amendment. And I'm not going to bore you with it right now, but maybe it is something you should care about. You should go forward about it. Amendment 2, legislative requirements to transfer state properties amendment. Again, it's Sunday night, Monday morning. I'm actually losing my voice. My eyelids are getting droopy. I'm not going to really bore myself to sleep live on the air by working my way through that. But you might want to vote about that. So again, as I've been imploring everybody, I don't care who you vote for. I'm not telling you who to vote for, what to vote for, why to vote. I'm just telling you that you should vote. And I guess I'm saying, you know, I guess I am telling you why you should vote, because then you still get to complain about it. I mean, isn't that part of what is being an American, is the right to sort of complain about things? But you kind of lose that right if you don't show up and vote. And so go out there, get it done. Remember, tweet me pictures at Mark Scoville on Twitter. Show me the voting sticker. I'll get you internet famous for a day by giving you a retweet, because I am internet famous. Well, kind of. Well, maybe a little bit. Okay, so I'm not really even internet famous, but I'll try. That's all I'm saying. So there's that. And one final quick thing, and this is more on a personal note. For those of you that do follow me on Twitter, you've probably seen a thread about my cat, Presley, plotting my imminent demise. And it's all done in good fun. I've got some really cute pictures of him doing some cat things, doing some non-cat things. But he's in a hospital right now. He's going to be hospitalized overnight and maybe longer. We're getting some testing done. You know, he's a bit of an older cat, but he's dealing with something, and we're not quite sure what. And as anybody that's had pets knows, they become a member of the family. And, you know, despite, you know, poking some fun at Presley and, of course, myself, because most of my humor on Twitter is of the self-deprecating variety, you know, he's a true member of this family. And he is somebody that when I was in some of my darker times dealing with mental health and anxiety and depression, when he would sort of jump up into the bed when all I wanted him to do in the world was to stay under the covers and, you know, snuggle with me. You know, I won't forget stuff like that. And so, you know, my family's hurting right now. We're worried. We're concerned. We're hoping for good news, and maybe we will get it. But, you know, if you could keep a thought in your minds about our little guy, Presley, it would mean the world to me and my family, because we're hurting a little bit right now, and we've really got our fingers crossed, hoping for good news, kind of fearing the worst. It's a tough time right now. It's been lingering over my head now for, you know, past couple of shows, but hopefully we get some good news soon. But keep some good thoughts and send some good vibes to the little man. That will do it for today's show. Also, I'm going to put up a poll on Twitter on who people want me to focus on for the Tape Tuesday show, because we'll do Tape Tuesday. We'll have a crossover Wednesday show. Take Thursday, send some questions in at Mark Scoville on Twitter. And then obviously Friday, your game day edition, getting you ready for Patriots Titans, which could be a very interesting episode. And of course, Thursday night, Mark Scoville, Warner Theater, Toto. That's right, it's Toto week here at Locked On Patriots. You might get a game day edition Toto style for Thursday. Maybe. We'll see. But that's the week ahead. Hope you enjoyed the game tonight. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Until next time, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Scoville, and Locked On Patriots.